Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you and you know her, you love her. Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group is here. Hello, Catherine.
Good morning, Renee.
It's great to see you.
It's so good to be back with you.
And
I love the snow. Can I just say, I mean, I don't love it on the roads, but I'm so excited to have beautiful white snow.
I know. I was thinking that too when it was snowing on Sunday. I'm like, how lucky are we?
Right?
The big poofy snowflakes and... Yeah, we're lucky.
Yeah.
We get seasons.
And then it melts and goes away.
Well, sometimes. Are you guys ready for the holidays?
Getting ready, yes. I have 3 granddaughters now, and so there's a lot of shopping and preparing that I like to do.
Yes.
For my girls.
To make ready. I mean, Cassana, he's a week away.
Right.
Right?
He is.
From the big flight.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, one of my daughters has decided not to tell her daughters that Santa is real. She does not want to lie to them. So that's going to be interesting. I think I'll have 1 granddaughter who believes in Santa and 2 who do not. So we'll see. It's
going to
be a whole
new
Christmas experience.
It will, absolutely. When we often talk about this, Catherine, is one of the best gifts you can actually give a family member is an estate plan.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't seem like it, like, oh, here's a sparkly bow, and we're going to put an estate plan in a box. But actually, I mean, think about the peace of mind that you're giving.
Right.
But a lot of times...
To yourself and
to your family. Exactly. But a lot of times that comes with people are scared to do it because of the myths associated with estate planning.
Exactly.
So,
or they think they don't need to do it.
Right.
Or they think what they've done is enough. So, yeah, the myths can get in the way in a lot of ways.
So what you're saying is my little note on a sticky note is not, that doesn't cover an estate plan.
No.
I mean, okay.
Renee, let's talk.
That does not cut it as an estate plan is what you're talking about. So let's hop right in. You have brought today the top 5 myths of estate planning. And hopefully this will help folks and be like, you know what? This is what we're going to do. Gift for myself and my family.
Right.
So let's hop in with myth number 1. What is myth number 1?
The biggest myth that we hear that people believe is that if I have a will, when I die, everything will just go that way, will go smoothly. That what I need is a will and that fixes everything.
And that's just not true.
It's not true.
Right. Again, my note on the sticky note is not.
Right. Yeah. Nor is a full-blown will that you've legally signed and executed. What most people don't realize is that if you have a house, which many of us do, if you own real estate when you die, it will have to go through probate. And probate in Colorado is not a big, horrible monster, and yet it's still not a party. It still takes, on average, somewhere between 9 and 24 months.
That's right.
A year or two.
Yes.
And this is at a time when your family has just lost you. They care about you. They're grieving. There's a lot of other practical things that they need to deal with. Even that just the time of having that sitting on their shoulders, knowing that there's more probate that they need to get through, feels like a burden to people.
It is. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
At a time that's already really difficult.
Right.
And probate costs some money. Most people involve lawyers, and lawyers are not cheap. And it is the hassle factor.
Right. And I think what also needs to be clarified here is, yes, the will is important, but it's not the only aspect.
Exactly.
Is what we're getting at with this is, yes, there's a will, but there's also important other aspects that have to be included in this estate plan.
Absolutely. And so another thing that people don't realize is that the will doesn't have anything to do with your life insurance and retirement plan beneficiaries.
Because you have to name those separately.
You do.
So if you think, like, again, on my sticky note, if I go, Catherine is getting my life insurance, that does not happen. It has to be actually on the life insurance policy.
Exactly. If your will says, Renee gets my life insurance, that doesn't make Renee get the life insurance. It's determined by what I put, who I listed as the beneficiary.
On the actual policy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I have a colleague who was just sharing late yesterday who has a client who named their will as the beneficiary, their estate as the beneficiary on their retirement plan. And the problems that it has created.
I was going to say, can you actually do that?
You can, but it creates problems and substantial tax issues. And so, because now it's not going to human
beings. Because they were trying to put everything back into the estate.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, they, in fact, did not listen to my colleague's advice. So important, even as your name, let's say you have a will and you've named beneficiaries on your retirement plans and your life insurance, talk to an attorney to just make sure that all of that is coordinated. Something else that I see happen over time is that people will update their will when they have changes in their life, but they forget to go back.
Update everything else.
Yes. And so their life insurance beneficiary is somebody that they don't even like anymore.
Right. Don't even speak to.
Right.
Right.
Maybe an ex-spouse.
Right.
So make sure that you have all of those coordinated and that you go through all of it with an attorney.
Now let's, before we go to break, joint tenancy, is that another thing that you need, is not covered by a will, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Not at all. And so that creates all kinds of problems. The big one, if you're married today, if you or your spouse pass away, your spouse should not have to go through probate, or you should not have to go through probate.
Right.
However, there's still a probate when the second one of you dies. So a lot of people think that if they own their real estate in joint tenancy, they're avoiding probate. Not true, because eventually both of you are going to die, and that's when we have probate kick in.
So you need to understand that as well.
Exactly. So and then we're back to the 9 to 24 months, the hassle, and the lawyer's fees.
So again, number one thing, number one myth, if you have a will, everything is good.
Right.
Yes, you need a will.
Not true.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll have more with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, on the top five myths of estate planning next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. So excited to talk with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, and we are helping you with your estate planning. And you might be like, well, it's the holidays. We don't want to consider this. Actually, it's the perfect time of year.
It really is. It's the time that you're thinking about how much you care about your loved ones.
Yeah.
And this doing comprehensive estate planning is one of the best gifts that you can give to your loved
ones. Absolutely. For anybody who has lived through, like you and I have, having gone through, probate for 2 years, like we're talking about, or, you know, having an estate plan is
right.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Yes, yes. Okay. And it feels so good to finally get it over with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then having the peace of mind that you're giving your family peace of mind.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people think that estate planning is about dying. And really, it's about freeing you up to live.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And letting your family be free to, after you're passed. Mourning is hard enough.
Right.
You know, you don't want them to deal with all the rest of it. Okay, so before we were talking about the top five myths, we went through myth number one, and that's the will covers it all, and I won't have to go in, it won't go into probate if I have a will. Not true. And we had talked about how joint tenancy kind of plays into that, and joint tenancy actually leads to myth number two. So myth number two is joint tenancy the best way to hold title to property, and as we said, nope. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so explain
further. It is not always the best way to own your property. One thing that we hear regularly is clients who come in and say, I have my son on my house or my niece on my bank accounts, so that if I become incapacitated or when I die, somebody else can just take care of everything. They'll have immediate access and control. That sounds lovely, and if your son or your niece is responsible, it's hard to understand that that's very, very dangerous. Because once you put somebody else's name onto your property, whatever happens to them now happens to you.
And it can affect the property.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if your son gets divorced, might be a great marriage today, his wife hits her head, runs off with an next-door neighbor, it happens. If that happens, she can make a claim against 50% of everything that he owns. One of the things that he owns is half of your house. I have some clients whose cousin lost the family farm back in Minnesota because of that exact scenario.
Joint tenancy.
Yes, they had put their daughter onto their family farm. She got divorced, and divorcing son-in-law was able to force the sale of the family farm.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Could you imagine how heart-wrenching that would be? I can't imagine. Just ripped my heart out just hearing that. The family farm.
Right.
That has probably been in the family for
generations.
Yeah.
And it happens with other kinds of liabilities. I have a friend whose daughter is exceptionally responsible. In the winter, was driving on the ice, slid in another city, and two people died. And she was sued. If she had been a joint owner on her mother's house, investments, bank accounts, etc.,
they could have gone after that property.
Oh, absolutely.
In the lawsuit.
They would have gone after those and legitimately taken at least the daughter's share of those.
Wow.
Which would be half.
So it doesn't matter. Again, like you're saying, it could be exes, spouses. It could be parent, child. It could be, I'm just randomly throwing out relationships, blended families, right? All of this can be affected by joint tenancy.
Exactly.
So you need to think about what you're doing.
Yep. And I'd say talk to an attorney, because an attorney will know the things that can go wrong and can help you plan around that. If you're wanting to put somebody on as a joint tenant, there's something you're trying to accomplish, talk to an experienced attorney who can guide you through what's the best way to accomplish that without putting yourself in danger. And even for spouses, if you put your spouse on as a joint tenant, there are potential tax consequences to that, negative tax consequences. Now, today in 2019, there aren't tax consequences for most spouses. You have to have a pretty large estate, more than $11.5 million, for that to end up being a tax issue. However, in 2025, the tax laws are going to change. The exemption amount will change. And if it goes down, more people are going to be affected by having your property in joint tenancy.
Wow.
So again, talk to an estate planning attorney about that. If you're in a blended family and you put your property and your bank accounts and your investments
so
into
say
joint
it's
tenancy.
Like, yeah, a couple that have families that marry.
Yes.
Okay.
So each of them has their own children that they brought in from a previous relationship. They get remarried. And this is what most people do. They buy the new house in joint tenancy. They set up their bank accounts, their investments in joint tenancy. Now, if one of those spouses dies before the other one, all of the assets go to surviving spouse and they disinherit their own children. Doesn't matter that their will says that everything goes to their kids or 50% goes to their kids. Their kids completely get disinherited if it's in joint tenancy.
In joint tenancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, so you need to talk with an estate attorney.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Especially for blended families, there are so many tricky things to plan around there.
Okay.
You don't want your spouse to be out on the street.
No.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
And you don't want to disinherit your own kids.
Absolutely. Okay. So we have to take a break. We'll have more with Catherine Hammond. We're talking about the top five myths of estate planning on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. You know her, you love her. Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, is here. Woot woot. Hello, Catherine. So we were talking about the top five myths of estate planning, and we made it through the first two. We always get talky-talky, which is good, though. Everybody needs to know this, but we still have to get through the final three. So let's jump into myth number three. Is that okay?
That sounds awesome.
So what is myth number three about estate planning?
Myth number three is that I should name my children as beneficiaries or as contingent beneficiaries on my life insurance policies and retirement plans.
So what...
Seems like it would make sense.
Right.
Because I love my kids. If I'm not married, then of course I want to name them. Or if I am married, of course I want to name them if my spouse doesn't survive me.
Right.
But there are problems with that.
Okay.
First of all, if my children are minors, then the money that goes to them is going to have to go through a court proceeding called a conservatorship. The court manages it, makes all the decisions, and then on their 21st birthday, they get a check for the entire amount. And they get to go spend the check however they want. And I rarely know 21-year-olds.
That are not going to be like, hey, look at that car I
wanted,
or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a year later, they can't even remember what they spent the money on.
Yeah.
It's way, way, way too important for you to take that risk with kids who there's no reason why they should know better when they're 21.
Yeah, no.
So some people say, well, you know, that's their fault if they blow the money. Well, they don't have the life experience and wisdom yet. And the only way to get it is by having some time and making mistakes. So even if your children are grown up, there are still drawbacks to naming them directly as the beneficiaries. One is that if you name your child as the beneficiary in your life insurance, and then 6 months later, their spouse runs off with the next door neighbor. Their spouse typically runs off with 50% of the life insurance that you gave to your child. Very easy ways to protect it from a future divorce if you pass it through a trust.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be a trust, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There are other issues that come up. Again, even an adult child, let's say a 25-year-old, maybe even a 30-year-old, may not quite be ready for an entire large chunk of money inheritance all at once anyway. Many people still want to spread that inheritance out over time, maybe, you know, one third every 5 years.
Yeah.
To give them a chance to practice with the money and make some mistakes and then think back on it and think, oh yeah, that was kind of dumb, and then have an opportunity to do things differently.
Right. So think about how naming your kids as beneficiaries, or like you said, putting it in trust, right?
Exactly.
That
yes.
That could help. Okay. Yeah. Should talk about that?
Yep. Depending on what your goals are, it's good to think through other options besides naming them directly.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's pop to myth number four, which is what?
A power of attorney will take care of all of my problems if I become disabled, either temporarily or permanently.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. A power of attorney does not have anything to do with medical.
That is correct.
Look at that.
Ding, ding, ding.
So somebody can have a power of attorney, but as far as any medical decisions, that does not anything.
Right.
As far as the medical goes.
Yep. So on the medical side, you need a special healthcare power of attorney that names somebody to make your medical decisions. You need a living will that says how you feel about artificial life support and some other serious situations.
Like you decide, okay, if I am being... Like, right, you make the decision in a living will.
Exactly.
Okay, if I'm on life support for 7 days or 14 days or whatever, and I'm still not, then you make that decision, not putting it on your family.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that they don't have to feel the guilt of it.
Right.
You made the decision.
Okay.
And then the other healthcare document that you need is called a universal HIPAA release. Under HIPAA, even your spouse does not have a right to your medical information. If you're in an accident and land in the hospital, nobody may have the right to call the hospital and find out whether or not you are there. It causes problems all the time. It also is
especially true with parents and, like, say, kids that are, you know, I've been watching my brother go through this with my nephews because they're at that age where, okay, they're at school, they're 18, but they're still not, you know, fully out. So, you know, that was one thing when I said when they were heading off to college, make sure, you know,
you have
this in place, because if something happens, you can't just call and go, hey, I need info.
It happens all the time. I have so many stories of parents who called the hospital after their child was in a car accident and were not able to get any information at all. And that just is distressful.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
I can't imagine.
No.
So the other thing to understand about a power of attorney is that while most powers of attorney say that they are what we call durable, meaning that they will last forever even if you become incapacitated, they are not. In reality, they don't work that way. Because of our greedy, litigious society, banks, title companies, other financial institutions hate powers of attorney.
And they put expirations on them?
They do.
Yeah.
And so it causes problems. So in order to use a power of attorney for most institutions, and especially for selling a house, the title company has to sign off on it. Your power of attorney needs to have been signed pretty recently. For many of them, most institutions that I'm aware of these days, needs to have been signed within the last year. And so you could sign a new power of attorney every single year, but the problem is, if you become incapacitated and stay alive, you can't sign a new power of attorney anymore.
Right.
And so eventually that's not going to work. We can't sell your house. That's how we end up in conservatorship and guardianship.
So then how do these, say, banking and not just saying banks, but some are guilty. of mm-hmm. this, okay, this power of attorney expires. How can they get past this? Does that make sense? Is my question make sense?
Yep. If it's not a real estate transaction, if it's just your bank that's giving us a hard time and you're incapacitated, then Colorado law gives us the ability to fight with them about that because they're not supposed to decline the power of attorney.
Okay. Exactly. Okay.
Right. Unless it's real estate. So, but I still see them try to do it.
Yeah.
But once an attorney gets involved, typically we can get that resolved.
Interesting.
So it's a little extra hassle. If it's real estate, then we have to set up a conservatorship. That's expensive, intrusive, and it lasts for the rest of your life. So.
Yikes.
Not fun. The other thing that you can do is plan ahead and consider using a revocable living trust instead of a will and a power of attorney.
Okay, so kind of define that. I know that we could do a whole show on that.
We could.
But just give a brief definition so folks understand.
So a revocable living trust is just an empty theoretical box into which we transfer your house and your bank accounts and your investments, everything that you own except for your retirement plans. And you just carry it around in your theoretical box instead of in your empty hands. And so now all of your assets are owned by you as trustee of your trust rather than by you as an individual. And if you become incapacitated, whoever you've named as your successor trustee steps in and acts on your behalf without us having to worry about how old the trust is or anything else.
Interesting.
If it's done well, it just works.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. We got to take a break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we're going to get to myth number five. Also, we're going to talk about the upcoming classes, of course, in January.
Yes.
I mean, perfect time because we're talking about this. Yeah. Start the new year with a new plan.
New year, get it done.
Absolutely.
And go on with your life.
So we're going to have myth number five, talk about classes and a lot more with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group. Girl, by the way, those boots are awesome, I got to say.
Aw, thank
those
you.
Those are really cute.
That's a benefit of having it cold and snowy out. We get to wear our cute winter boots.
But you know what? These are cute, but you know, they really, I go flying. So I need to get some better, you know, out walking the dogs, and I'm sure it's entertainment for everybody driving by. Like, there goes.
Okay, let's work on that.
Yeah.
Let's get you some boots with some tread.
Those are really cute. I love the fuzzy. Okay. Side, that was a squirrel. So we're talking about the top five myths of estate planning, and we're on myth number five, and then it looks like you have a bonus myth as well. So let's talk about myth number five. What is myth number five?
My estate is not big enough to worry about probate or estate taxes or even estate planning.
So you're saying, again, that my little sticky note will, even though it's small...
Right.
I don't need to worry. Actually do need to worry about estate planning.
You do. Even if you have a very, let's say, modest situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say for folks who just have a house and a dog, they don't even have kids and their bank accounts, there are still a lot of reasons why you need to do estate planning. One of them is what happens if you're incapacitated? Who's going to take care of things?
Correct.
One of them is probate when you die, or even if you don't have probate, just making sure that your stuff gets to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And for the animal lovers in the world, like you and me.
Raise your hands.
We are all raising our hands here.
We still have to make sure that they're taken care of.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a really important thing. So remember, all it takes to get into probate is a house, and even before we have to worry about death probate, each of us could become incapacitated.
Absolutely.
So it's vital to have those documents in place. And so it's not about the size of your estate. It's about what's important to you, your individual goals, and comparing those to your situation and working with somebody who can help you kind of navigate all of that and make what you want to have happen happen, given your situation and your assets.
And I think that's critical. Like you said, it's not the amount.
Right.
That is... Again, you're not a bazillionaire and need to have a will.
Right.
Right. It's like, what do you want to have happen with your stuff and not put your family through it?
And the truth is, the smaller your estate, the more important every single dollar becomes.
Exactly. So that's why work on an estate plan. Okay.
Yep.
What's the bonus myth for
the
us
bonus
today?
Bonus myth, I don't need to do estate planning until I get old or older. Because I'm not going to die yet.
Right. That's not true.
It's not true. Right. We both know it happens every single day.
Yes.
People die in ways that we never would have expected.
Absolutely.
People of every age.
Absolutely.
So don't wait. It's something that you can do once and then feel tremendous peace of mind. Ideally, work with an attorney who's going to stay in touch with you, build a relationship so that you can make sure that it gets adjusted over time as your life changes, as your family changes, as your assets
change.
Right, you're
going to want to do checkups.
Right.
Yeah.
But the feeling that people get when they finish their estate plan and walk out of our office, it's like they're on cloud nine.
Right.
They feel so good about finally having taken care of
the weight off the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then it's done. And then it is just checkups after that, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're a young couple just starting out, or you just have new, just had babies and, you're growing your family, perfect time to do it.
Right. So just do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Okay. Getting hiccups, girl. So the great way to start is going to one of the workshops.
Yes, we have workshops once a month. Well, several times a month, but 1 week a month.
I think you've had to grow the number of workshops, haven't you?
We have.
Yeah, because I remember it was you had one day and then it was like a couple times a day. Now you've had to go to a couple days with a couple times a day because
we had a number of workshops in 2019 where we had to close it out. We couldn't take any more people.
Yeah.
So get on the list for January. We have workshops coming up on Saturday, January 11th at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then on Wednesday, January 15th at 2 o'clock and 6:30 p.m. And you can register online. Our website is coloradoestateplan.com, or you can call our office, 719-520-1474. We have a very friendly team who would really love to help you.
And that would be a great stocking stuffer, wouldn't it?
That would be tremendous.
There you go. So you go okay, honey, we're...
Right.
We have this scheduled.
We're doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And of course, if people have questions, they can reach out. We actually have a tab on our website, krdo.com. Look under the radio on the left side navigation. And then look under radio and it says, ask the estate attorney. Don't center all of your attorney questions. Sometimes we see some criminal questions too.
Right.
It's like, you're not a criminal attorney.
No, you do not want to ask me about your criminal issues, nor bankruptcy, nor divorce, any of that.
Yes. Yep. So just click on that. If you have a question for Catherine, you can send it to her, and her or somebody on her team will get back with you. So
we will. We would be happy to help.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to see you. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year.
Oh, happy all of the holidays to you.
Absolutely. And we have to work on your schedule for next year.
Okay.
Everybody loves when you come on.
Oh,
such great
info. I love being here. Love being with you.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Yeah. Happy new year. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, guess what? His big trip around the world coming up in exactly a week. NORAD Track Santa is going to be here to talk about how they are helping Santa go around the world. How we're going to track them. So that's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.